Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and danger lurks in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Yeah, it's a small location. Let me get up in their faces.
Yeah, try to loot them bodies! Loot them bodies!
Little do you know, Felix, that an average Lokipon duel only takes about 8 minutes, so I think we'll be fine.
Getting excited, guys. I'm getting excited.
Now, let's make a deal. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast.
That was pretty rough where we ended on the last one.
Oh, man, you're bringing us down right away.
Yep.
I missed the scapegoat.
Just setting the mood.
I know. We're all cheering, and it's like some dude starved to death with his wife.
Yeah.
They're just humans.
They're just humans.
Oh, my God. They're getting their last words.
Most of those last words were useless.
When we figure out something to do with all this money or all these goods, you don't get any.
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, we're going to dedicate them to Claire and Michael.
Robert says that he wants to dedicate things to Michael and Claire, but mere moments ago, he was frisking Claire's dead body, trying to pillage coins off of her.
Well, that was before he knew her personally.
Goddamn right I was. I was trying to, I'm paying it forward. You gotta take from the poor to give to the
I don't
rich.
Know.
We're not rich yet. We'll be rich soon, but we're not rich yet.
Yeah, you leave that to me.
Pay it forward. Steal things from dead people. For me, pay it forward. I don't understand.
They're dead. What are they going to do with it?
Yeah, what are they going to do about it? What are they, pharaohs up in their high hotel room?
Can't take it with you.
They do kind of look like pharaohs.
Yeah, they did. They were mummified. Modern day pharaohs. So, modern day pharaohs. That brings me to our first topic of conversation in an awkward segue. What do you guys want to do? Are you guys going to 17 Millbrook Lane to see the Harrow household? Are you heading north to Black Harbor to see about your ship? Or something else entirely? There's a whole city called Wafisa on this planet called Wafisa for you to explore.
Are we rested?
Yes. You closed off floor 7 of this hotel, and you were able to go through like shifts, so there's always someone on watch. Everyone got a good night's rest. Those of you who were injured previously are waking up with some stiff wounds. So I believe Thorn was shot a few days prior. That's still healing. But thanks to advanced medicine, isn't as bad as it could have been.
Space medicine.
Actually, let me check something, because like, I'm pretty sure... Can I heal that? Oh no, I can just stabilize. I can't actually heal people.
So you've basically played a cleric in every game of mine that you've been in.
I really like clerics. I think I got away from it once, but that might just be a fever dream from playing Baldur's Gate 3, where I also played a cleric on my first playthrough.
Yeah, and I will say I'm with you on this one, Steph. I am also a cleric in every single game.
It's the best class. So.
Yep, it is.
Now, Thorn, though, you're a class which I don't even know what it would equate to in a non-commoner.
I believe commoner is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, Ferengi.
Yeah. I'm making a character whose goals are to run a successful business and get rich.
Well, you're well on your way to neither of those so far.
Yeah.
Well, let's get a bit further by hitting up 17 Millbrook, because I think that's
a
plan.
Oh, that's a good segue.
Wow, good segue. Do you want to run the game?
Yeah, I know, right?
So, 17 Millbrook Lane. So you have decided to go there first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it is not on your way to Black Harbor, which is where your ship is currently. At least that's your best guess based on what Alara Voss told you. But if you start making your way towards Black Harbor, and then which is to the north, and then head west for a few hours, you'll be able to hit Millbrook Lane and then be a couple hours out from...
Yeah. I don't want to get locked out of this quest line later.
And I can't imagine denying Thorn the potential of this treasure trove.
Hey, yeah, that's a really good point. Thorn loves troves.
Yeah, I don't know if anything in here said things about a trove of treasure.
I think there's a book and a machine.
And a bay. There's a whole bay we have a code to.
Yeah, we get a whole storage locker that could be full of, like, more Lokipon cards.
Oh my god.
I forgot about Lokipon.
Yeah, well, I'm really hoping that once we get to Black Harbor, we're sitting there, we come up with our Lokipon cards, because I think we took them from the car place, and we have the coins now. We're just going to be, like, ready to go, I don't know, trade for cigarettes or something.
No, okay, who's going to be able to play for, like, high stakes Gwent? I'm sorry, Lokipon with our coins and our card stash. It's going to be glorious.
That made me think, are we sure these are coins and not pogs?
Ooh.
Oh, good point. They are only on one side, so they could definitely be pogs.
There's one that's way larger than the others, so it could be a slammer. So yeah, you start making your way out to Millbrook Lane, and the storage unit is also on Millbrook Lane, a couple blocks away.
I think head up the house first.
Okay. You make your way to 17 Millbrook Lane, and you find yourself in the suburbs. This is actually, according to the map that you've referenced multiple times now, there's a lot of residential area leading up to the coast, and then when you get to the coast, that's where Black Harbor is, surrounded by some residential, like, apartment buildings, but mostly commercial areas, restaurants, tourist shops, stuff like that. So 17 Millbrook lives in that middle zone between the industrial area that you're leaving and the commercial area that's on the coast. So 17 Millbrook, which is where the Harrows lived until their untimely demise by starvation in the Glendale Hotel, is a fairly small, modest, suburban-style home. There's a yard out front, also small, completely overgrown and untended. It's been potentially a decade or more since it was last taken care of. There's weeds that have pushed out of the yard and burrowing through the cracks in the sidewalk outside of the house. There was once a nicely tended garden here, but now it's a completely untamed mess of thorny bushes and vines. There's a idyllic low white picket fence here, chipped and weathered, leaning at odd angles. The porch leading up to the house looks like it's almost ready to collapse. A lone rocking chair sways in the wind, its paint also chipped. And a forgotten wind chime clangs softly, but everything else on the street is eerily quiet.
It's eerily quiet. Well, we still need to be careful, so let's scout the place out, make sure that nobody's been here recently, and then see if we can't find that key.
Says the man who damn near walked into the trap 2 seconds ago.
Alright, first of all, Robert, that was yesterday. Second of all, thanks to your cunning wit, I didn't.
Well, thank you. Well, you know what? In that case, let me pull out my specialty bionic eyes and see what I can see.
Robert, those are not bionic eyes. They're binoculars. How many times do I have to tell you? Felix, just let him have this.
Oh, my God.
Robert, give me a notice wisdom.
And on that, I rolled a 12.
Nice. Yeah, with rolls like that, maybe you are the scout. Yeah. So you take out your binoculars and you look over the yard and the door and everything that you can see. It looks like many of the houses on the street, it's never even been broken into.
Oh, y'all, I think this might be a fresh loot here. I don't see any signs of looting, disturbances. They don't even know what's laying ahead.
So you make your way up onto the porch. It creaks underfoot. The rocking chair is slowly moving back and forth next to you. There's a door in front of you, and it's locked. The front door of 17 Millbrook.
All right, now who remembers where that key was?
Third brick from the left. Oh, no, that's a small red notebook. Oh, shit. I done forgot. Haley, y'all remember?
Third brick from the left.
All right, let's pop open that brick.
So you go and you move the brick to the side, and behind it is a key.
Easy peasy.
You take the key, you unlock the door, and you move into a dusty and completely uninhabited and untouched house. No one has been here in a very long time. So you enter in from the front door and you find yourself in the living room. There's a comfortable couch, large coffee table, shelves stacked with books and family photos. It leads off into the kitchen where you find appliances rusted out and caked with grime. The dining table that's here in the kitchen, there is no separate dining room in this small house. The chairs are scattered about. The table is a cluttered mess. There was a remnant of an unfinished meal here. Obviously, they had to leave quite quickly for some reason. There is a set of stairs going upstairs. You look at the hallway that's next to the stairs here, expecting to find like a side table or something with a bottom drawer, but nothing. Going upstairs, the stairs creaking under your feet. You find yourself in another small hallway. This one has three doors going off from it. There's a bathroom, a master bedroom, and a child's room, a very young child, past the nursery stage, but definitely not a teenager. There are clowns and dolphins and all sorts of childlike imagery pasted all over the walls, and the child's toys are scattered about. Here in the hallway, there is a small dresser. It has three drawers.
I open them up and see if there's anything good inside.
So you go up to the dresser and you go into the bottom drawer and you find the red book that was spoken of.
Just as the prophecy foretold.
All right, get my tissues.
Yeah, one of y'all has to read it. I'm not into it. I'm not good on the reading.
So Felix, you crack it open and it's full of page after page of measurements and equations and mixtures and strange experiments.
Handwritten notes, I assume?
All handwritten. It looks like it's like one sort of experiment per page or two, each with a title. It's kind of hard to read the handwriting, though.
Yeah. I flip to a random page to see if I can make out anything about it. Is it medical, technical?
It looks like mostly measurements and ways to combine measurements. Go ahead and roll your notice wisdom.
A 6.
Okay, yep, that's fine. You meet the low DC for this. Really struggling to read it. This handwriting is terrible. Also, the handwriting is different throughout the book. So at the beginning, like first 20 pages, it's one handwriting. Then you notice it switches to a slightly neater handwriting that you can actually read a little bit of. So flipping through those pages, you're instantly annoyed because it's just a family recipe book. And you're currently on the page for strawberry shortcake.
Oh my god. This is a damn waste of time.
It's wonderful.
Hand it to Haley abruptly. Here, if you think it's so wonderful, you have it. Sorry, Thorn. It's a bust.
That may not be entirely true, my friend. I think that our family back in the hotel room took the contents of this book pretty seriously. I wouldn't write it off so easily.
If you say so, man.
I'm now picturing Thorn finding like some recipe in there he likes, and he packages it up and put Claire's face on it, and it's like Mama Claire's salsa or something.
Yeah, exactly, and then you start a whole salsa business.
Do we think it might be more than a recipe?
It does look like just a family recipe book that's been handed down for three generations. And there's still over 100 blank pages in the back.
Oh, look, places to write our own.
It'll be wonderful.
Ugh. Hopefully the storage unit has something a bit better for us.
Why would the Harrows care if the Guardians of the Work got their hands on a cookbook?
Well, I don't think they cared if the Guardians did. Remember what he said? He said, I don't care if you're a Guardian or not. They just wanted the recipes to continue, I guess.
He did say something similar to what you're saying, Thorn, but he was talking about the machine in the storage unit.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. I see.
Yeah. Anything else in this house? I think we should go over to the storage unit.
Is there anything else in this house?
Yeah, loot them bodies. Loot them bodies.
Yeah, it's just a normal house. There's really no...
Yeah, so did the kid collect Lokipon cards, though?
Oh, wait. Out of pod. All the listeners, stop listening.
Everyone cover your ears.
What was Lokipon? Is that something that we made up?
Yeah, we made it up. When we first got to Wafisa, I was just searching through wreckage, and in a random car, you, like, randomly decided that there was, like, some old trading cards or something like that, and we invented Lokipon.
Okay, listeners, you can turn the volume back up. Okay. Yeah, Lokipon, of course. Yeah.
Here's what I have written. A sealed pack of base set Lokipons, probably 20 years old, and also a deck box with an old deck. Probably valuable to the right buyer. And then in quotations I've written, gotta avoid them at all costs.
Okay, yeah, so you find two decks that this child has made of Lokipon monsters. Flipping through them, the decks are not very good, but there are some rare cards in there. So you can put that you've now gathered 80 cards, two 40-card decks.
Nice.
I mean, as long as we're going into it, what's the deck cap for a Lokipon deck? Is it a 40-card deck?
It's 40 cards if you're playing competitively, but there are other modes. We can go unlimited or a lot of casuals will do 60, like casual stores. But in competitive play, you don't really want more than 40. So yeah, you can write you have two Lokipon decks that were constructed by the child Liam Harrow.
Oh, we know the kid's name now.
He might be fine. Okay, so having found two Lokipon decks, you make your way to the storage facility. The storage facility on Millbrook Lane is a fairly nondescript small storage facility that's meant to be for overflow treasures of the families that live around here. So as you approach the Millbrook storage facility, there is a half-broken neon-tubed sign outside with the words Mill and Storage. Anything else that was on that sign has been completely broken out. The security gate is rusted but open. Its keypad is smashed. There's a chain link fence that surrounds the facility. It's very old, rusting, and sagging. It's barely a barrier at all anymore. There's also faded markings on the asphalt where once there were parking spots, but now it's just littered with a bunch of debris. A lot of it from the smashed open storage units that lay within.
And I deeply want to get into the storage unit Bay 17, but on my way here, does anyone want to help me construct a Loki Pond deck? Is there any way I can roll for, like, power level of Loki Pond deck?
We've got three decks right here. I mean, I could teach you to play.
That's what I'm saying.
Are we getting in a game within a game?
Well, so let's do this. I mean, I love this. So let's wait until you guys are bedding down for the night, and it can be like a fireside game that you guys can play when you're like in a safe spot.
Oh, I like that.
Love it. We'll roll off for it. Love it.
Yeah. There are skills that could work for that.
Oh God, I'm going to be so bad, and it's going to be glorious. Perfect.
It's probably something Thorne is going to be really good at.
Yep.
So inside the facility, you already know that you're going to storage 17. As you get closer and closer to storage 17, you're getting increasingly worried because every single storage room has been broken into and things have been pulled out. So there's chairs, tables, dressers, deteriorating pieces of clothing or curtains and parts and all kinds of just junk everywhere. It's been pulled out and left scattered. And there's even like piles where someone was sorting through it and left their like, don't care about this pile behind. And then you reach 17. Like all the other ones, the keypad has been smashed in. The door has been forced open and everything that is in there has been pulled out and spread across the asphalt.
Well, it's clear we're not the first ones here.
No, but hopefully they didn't find the false wall that Michael was telling us about.
Someone go ahead, one person, a representative from your team, go ahead and roll Notice Wisdom.
Sounds like Robert's job.
I was about to say, I know this isn't normally my thing. Felix, if there's any possibility you give me some technical advice on what I might be looking for here, because my mind's on Loki Pwn.
What you're looking for is a wall.
Yep.
That's false.
Ooh. So it's not a real wall?
It's like a wall that's, it's not like a forever wall.
That's like not a wall.
You know, yeah. I think I might be able to help here.
That'd be great. I can't talk to him.
I think I might want to take a look for it.
Haley, I mean, I have my binoculars out here. I'm looking for it. But if you know what this not wall is, take a look.
Yeah, I want to take a look.
Okay, so roll Notice Wisdom. And Robert, you spot a red cardinal in a nearby tree.
I got a 7.
You go in and you start tapping around and being like, does this look right? I don't know a lot about walls. And you're kind of moving around. And you actually find small air vent that's been drywalled over. So you rip off the drywall and that air vent acts as a grip and allows you to just fully pull a whole section of the wall off. Now there's a crawl space in the bottom right-hand corner of the back wall that leads to the storage space on the opposite side. Peeking in, you can see that there's some wide, hulking steel shape in there in the darkness.
Guys?
Yeah, what do you got, Haley?
There's something pretty crazy back here.
Ooh, I love crazy. Let's see what we got.
So everyone crawls through.
I snap on the light on my data slab. It's got a flashlight built in.
What you see is a steel machine that's mostly covered by a tarp. You can see there's like a ring of steel that's flush against the ground. Shiny chrome.
Getting excited, guys. Getting excited.
I know, I'm really teasing this.
Take it off. It's like a swing set.
Yeah, it's 3 garbage cans.
I mean, if you tell me 3 booster packs of Loki Pond, I'm going to go nuts.
I'm going to grab that tarp and pull it off.
You swing the cloth to the side. Dust billows up into the air. And in the dancing lights of your flashlights, you see a sleek, low-slung machine. Once the height of luxury across the modern galaxy. A relic that many worlds no longer have upon them. A post-industrial, pre-AI, luxury sports hover car.
Well, hello.
Thorn, you immediately recognize it as an Aurora LX90.
They haven't made these in forever.
It's a pre-collapsed luxury sports hover car built for speed and elegance. Aerodynamic with a curved obsidian black frame accented by fading gold trim. Its gull-wing doors easily slide open and the inside glows because the plutonium core of the engine never runs out of energy. Four grav thrusters, currently clogged with dust and grime, come off the end in beautiful, well-shaped exhaust pipes. It hovers an inch off of the ground when it's powered, humming with a faint blue glow. Inside, you have supple, crimson leather seats. A dashboard is filled with sleek digital displays. And if you turn it on, the displays flicker uncertainly for a bit, but then roar to full life.
Oh, she still runs. Man, these things went for a fortune even when they were new. Not only are they extremely finely crafted, but people would pay an extra premium just for how rare and fancy they were.
It is in perfect condition. It just hasn't been run in a while. So it has a plutonium power source for its main, like, electrical energy, but its actual propulsions work off of plasma cells. So currently you have the one that's currently slotted into the fuel injector is half spent, but there is one additional fully loaded one in the trunk. You also find a folded leather jacket in the driver's seat.
Oh, man.
Several expired rations in the trunk. A locked metal case in the trunk. Inside of this storage unit to the car is a workbench with different auto body tools. And also a note.
So first for the leather jacket, I challenge anyone to Loki Pond for that leather jacket.
Drawn, my friend.
What's that note say?
Yeah, what's the note say?
It's a list of things that are like automotive parts and like tasks that Michael obviously wanted to perform on the car, including like fixing the cracked seats, changing out the plutonium power core because he said that it was getting unstable.
Oh no.
Oh, great.
Love it.
On the flip side, it has a bunch of names and prices for buyers of the car. And then on the bottom half of that side, which is the most recent note, it says, if you find this, don't ever sell her. Treat her well.
Oh, Michael, you're a real one. Okay.
That may be one dying wish that I can't keep. This thing's a beaut, but look at those numbers on the paper. That's how much people were paying for this thing, even when you could still get them.
It's a fine piece of machinery, though, my friend.
Now, can you fix her up? Because, I mean, he has a whole list of stuff he wants to fix up here.
No, this is all pretty basic stuff. I think we can manage it. Yeah, I mean, we don't have all the pieces I need to replace, like, you know, the plutonium core, that's not going to be a quick fix, but we can get the stuff and get it working. I mean, it works fine now. It's just more like average maintenance stuff.
Now, are you going to want to sell her, though?
Well, you know, Robert, we can talk about that later, but right now it's focused on the fact that we can use this car to make good time to get to Black Harbor.
All I heard was we're going to have some good times. So that speaker working, you know, we're going to blast it out going down the street.
All right, let's not attract too much attention there. But yeah, we'll have a good time.
Yes, sir. So who's wearing the leather jacket again?
The winner of this Loki Pond duel.
Hey!
Gents, I don't think we have time for this.
Well, little do you know, Felix, that an average Loki Pond duel only takes about 8 minutes, so I think we'll be fine.
So, much to your chagrin, it seems like they're settling down to play a Loki Pond game for the leather jacket.
Well, while they're Loki Ponding, I would like to work with Haley to unlock this metal case.
What kind of lock is on it?
It's a lockbox that has like a built-in keyhole lock.
Oh, darn.
Would the house key possibly work for this?
Robert, go back to your game.
Sorry.
Okay, so let's do the Loki Pond game. Obviously, we don't have a real game of that. It's going to come down to skill. And I think we should do best 2 out of 3.
That is how standard tournament rules work.
Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. So I think that this is going to be a game of chance and intuition. So I want to do trade wisdom, and it's going to be lowest wins.
Wait, lowest?
Or highest wins, sorry.
What are you doing to me, man?
This is not GURPS.
All right, I'll go first, Robert. Shuffle up. Let's see. Oh, you're in trouble now.
Hey, what? I didn't even cut your deck yet. I need a full pile shuffle real quick, because I got to make sure my materia is well dispersed into my deck.
materia.
Shuffle it all you want. You're not going to get my traps.
We'll see about that.
Oh, it looks like I got the danger pawn on my first turn. There's no way you're getting away from that.
Ooh. No,
you gotta cut me up first. Gotta cut me up.
All right, but you're in trouble now.
Okay. I got no materia in this hand. I'm gonna need to pile shuffle again. I don't know what's happening. Give me a second here. Mm-hmm.
Do you check his hand, Thorn?
Yeah, let me see that. Okay, yeah, no, that looks valid. Go ahead.
Okay, and cut one more time, please.
Yeah.
And a third cut.
There we go. Okay, and now we're in her. Yep. Okay, I'll keep. That's a keep. That's a keep for me.
All right, well.
You sure you don't want a mulligan? You don't look very confident.
No, it's to you. This danger pawn is, you got to do something about it. It's on you.
Yeah, I mean.
You're about to capture that danger pawn, so careful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna cast. Hold on, I think materia. Yep. And then I'm gonna use my floor of bees to dodge up out that way.
Oh, good move, but amateur at best, because your bees are no match for my Loki, honey. I slather you with it, and now they're gonna be all over you.
Oh God! How did I not see that coming? I'm gonna use my it's behind you card.
I like how the honey is like a counterspell.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's enough. Why don't you guys go ahead and do your rolls, and we'll see who comes out on top.
5,
and I rolled an 11.
Okay, so it was really embarrassing for you, Robert.
Looks like game one goes to me, Robert. You think you got a handle on the rules yet?
I mean, I have been playing Loki Pawn since I was a wee babe.
It doesn't show.
Weren't you just asking for someone to teach you?
I don't like to talk about that.
Robert's such a wild card.
Yeah, also Robert's full of shit, so.
He's like, I've been playing forever. He loses. He's like, I'm brand new. Okay, second game. Go ahead and roll again. Trade wisdom.
Oh, wait, best 2 out of 3? Is there any chance I can try to cheat here?
Yes. Go ahead and roll perform.
Can I get dexterity on that from my sleight of hand?
Yeah, you do dexterity perform, and Thorn, you do notice wisdom.
Okay.
And whoever gets higher.
I got a 9 to notice your chicanery.
And I got a 6, and you see me clearly trying to top deck 3 or 4 cards at a time.
Robert, my friend, come on, this is just a game between pals. I don't think you need to resort to such underhanded tactics. I'm sure you've got the win on the next turn.
I'm just telling you, that leather jacket is like a fine piece. But you know what? You done caught me. Let's play the straight game on that.
I rolled a 12.
It's not your day, Robert. You just got trounced.
Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to Astronomica, a Stars Without Number actual play podcast.
Our story takes place 6 centuries after the collapse of an interstellar empire as a band of ne'er-do-wells pick through the ashes.
We're not ne'er-do-wells.
If anything, we're oft-do-wells.
When have you ever done well?
We've had more than 160 episodes. There's been tons of well-doing.
That's too much for him to go back through.
Then he can listen to one of our regular synopsis episodes and get all caught up on the backstory.
Okay, fine, but you're rare-do-wells at best.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Guys, do you think we should scrap Astronomica and just make a show called Rare Duels?
Yes, I
obviously.
Do.
Yes.
No,
yes.
We've got more than 3 years of zany characters, unique planets, and novel sci-fi situations. We've built an awesome and inclusive fan community. We are not starting over.
Okay, but I mean, Astronomica kind of sucks. Rare Duels sounds awesome.
Don't listen to them. Astronomica is great. We're really proud of it. Check us out on a podcatcher of your choice or visit astronomicapodcast.com. Excelsior.
So while you guys are playing that, Haley and Felix, you kind of look around in the car and you actually find the key to the lockbox in the glove box next to a pair of supple leather driving gloves.
Ooh,
these are nice.
So they won't hold up to combat. If you try to hold a weapon with them and swing the weapon a bunch, they'll tear. But they're perfect for driving and feeling the road in your hover car.
Not for me.
No.
His hands were made for punching.
I prefer cold steel on my hands. Anyway, this guy's an idiot. He just left his key right in the car.
You know what? We all do dumb things sometimes. Let's go see what's in the box.
You go and you open the box. Inside, you find a Stauser 6 handgun, which is a six-shooter, essentially, as well as several other smaller supplies and survival tools. So what you find is the Stauser 6 handgun. It's kind of like a compact six-shooter. It's not six-shooter with gunpowder. It still uses an energy cell, but it only has enough energy for six shots.
So it doesn't have a cool little, spinny little chamber.
Yeah, let's say it does. Let's say it has six individual shots of energy cells, and you can reload the energy cells like bullets. It also has an AI aiming system, which gives you a +1 to hit.
Oh.
So once you aim at someone, you click a button and it locks onto them, and then you get a +1 to hit that person, basically until you turn it off. But it does not do that much damage. So the gun's grip is worn from use, surprisingly enough. It's not loaded, and there's a rack of 18 shots.
Yeah.
So besides the gun, there's also a military survival manual included. It has no branding on it that makes you think it has anything to do with the Guardians of the Work. It seems to be pre-Guardians, but it is specific to Walfisa because it talks about the purple flower vegetation and what to do during a sunstorm, which are Walfisa-like problems.
All that stank-ass methane.
Yeah, all the stanky methane and what to do when the whole society collapses. And then there's a small tactical knife. Normal, military-grade, foldable, blackened steel blade. And that's everything that's in there.
Who was this guy?
Well, it was a good match, Robert, but I think the best man won, and I confidently put my new jacket on.
So you slip into the new jacket, which is extremely well-worn. So this is not something you have to break in. It feels great.
It's very comfortable.
Rub it in, why don't you?
Stick your hands in the pockets and pull out an old weathered photo.
Oh, what's this?
Of Michael, Claire, and their son Liam at the beach.
Another family photo. Let me get my hands on those gloves, too. I got the full outfit going.
I toss him over to Thorn.
You're not even going to challenge him to a Loki pawn?
I'm not going
to
wear some dead animal skin on my hands. What are you talking about?
It's a cold steel kind of guy.
Right. Haley gets it.
Yeah, if they were robot gloves, he'd wear them.
Oh, 100%. Anybody here opposed to me grabbing this fancy little pistol for the time being? I mean, I could use the help I can get in a firefight.
No objection from me, I say as I'm checking out my cool jacket and gloves.
None here as I look sadly at getting trounced at Loki Pawn.
Are you going to start buying up your trade skill now just so you can start winning at Loki Pawn?
Oh, goddamn right. My new life's purpose is to beat Thorn at Loki Pawn.
He's going to spend all of his money on the rarest, most powerful cards.
I hope this isn't a Wafisa-specific game. Hopefully we're not here for too much longer.
Oh, no. Loki Pawn is system-wide.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, on all civilized places that can afford cardboard.
So these might be some crazy old cards, too.
Yeah, it is oldish, though. That's the thing.
So let's see if we get this door open, huh?
So the garage door, or the storage door, is the same as all the other ones, except for it's not smashed in. So there's a keypad to open it up. On the outside, there would be a code. On the inside, it's just open or shut. Right now, it's shut.
I'll push the open button.
I will sit comfortably in the driver's seat.
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens?
Nothing happens because there's no electrical.
Ah, damn. Well, let's see if I can jury-rig one of my power cells into here.
So go ahead and roll fix intelligence.
I like this thing I can do now with these power cells. 7.
Nice. Okay, yeah, so pretty easy job for you. You jury-rig up one of your power cells. It consumes it, but you're able to grind open this storage door on way less power. It's just very slow, and you drain the battery. On the other side of that storage door is a poured concrete wall.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I think this is me.
You're gonna break down this concrete wall, Haley? Damn, girl.
Might as well try.
Yeah. I like that it's concrete, not some Star Wars name like Plasticrete.
Plasticrete, I think, sounds much softer and preferable.
Yeah, there's a stone water mixture.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a poured concrete wall that's directly in front of what should be an exit out. So it's obviously something that was added after the fact. Haley, how do you want to approach this?
I want to see if this is something that's actually movable and if I can push it.
Okay, so you go up and you test it and you push it. And when you really strain, it wobbles slightly.
Sweet. Okay.
Haley. Yeah. Where's it weak? Y'all mind if I help give it a little push with you?
I'm not helping.
Felix is not helping. Is Thorn helping?
If by helping you mean revving the engine, but otherwise, no.
Oh, you've already started the hover car. Okay, so Thorn's in the back just revving the engine impatiently. Good thing this thing doesn't have exhaust.
Filling the garage with plutonium fumes.
We slowly suffocate and all of us die.
The smell means it's working.
So, Haley and Robert, both roll exert strength, please.
9 for me.
And that'll be an 8 for me.
Okay, so the two of you really put your shoulder to it and it starts to wobble. And then you start to, like, get the rhythm of it wobbling. And with one last huge heave, the wall falls away and hits onto the outside parking lot and shatters into hundreds of pieces.
While they were knocking down the wall, I'm going to, like, collect all the tools that will fit in the trunk, and I put them in the trunk because it'll be useful later when we need to work on the car.
Yeah, Felix, toss those into the boot.
I scoop them all up and put them in the trunk.
Okay, so are you guys, like, taking the car with you?
100%. Yeah.
Okay, then. So you load up the tools in the boot of the car, and you all pile in. It's a little bit of a tight fit because there's only two doors. It's a coupe. But you have Thorn driving. You have Felix in the passenger seat, and Robert and Haley squeeze into the back, and you move out onto the streets of Wafisa. You start driving north towards Black Harbor. How do you want to do this?
Fast and stylishly.
I was thinking slow and stealthily. Those are opposites.
Hey, Felix, if you wanted us to be stealthy, we are in the wrong vehicle.
I mean, you're driving, so... My thought was we use it just to get close the ground to the city pretty quickly and then find a place to stow it and hoof it.
At least let's drive it to the city limits, Black Harbor. But driving it actually through town, maybe not a great plan. If we can peel off any guardians, maybe a disguise isn't the worst idea.
That's true.
Yeah, but we basically have no idea what we're walking into here. Like, we don't know what the cities, what the defenses are like. We have no intel.
We don't even know if the scapegoat's there.
Per what Robert said, though, that got Felix thinking, and I am going to try to, like, using my data slab, I'm going to try to, like, find the signal of the scapegoat. Like, its identifier signal, and see if I can locate it.
Okay. I don't think you have, like, a antenna powerful enough to pick up that sort of thing. On your map, you do see that there is a radio tower nearby. So you could go and take that and rewire it and try to pick up communications from the scapegoat.
Yeah, I mean, I'll convey that to the team. So I was trying to figure out if I can get a lock on the scapegoat. You know, Robert, that was a great point. I can't do it from here. If we get to that radio tower, I can maybe try to locate it. Just so we can be sure that it's in Black Harbor before we go barreling in.
Yeah, I'm down. Maybe we can throw a little tarp over this bad boy, and at least it's a point where we can come back to.
Yeah, it's a good landmark.
There wouldn't happen to be, like, a car cover or something in here.
Yeah, there's a cloth that was, like, draped over it when you guys first came in.
Yeah, so we just hold on to that. We can use it to cover it back up.
So I'll give Thorn. Does that sound good to everybody? Go to the radio tower?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
I'll plug the directions into the GPS.
It pops up on the GPS. Thorn, you turn this smooth-riding machine, the Aurora, slightly more westward than you would be going if you're going straight to Black Harbor, and make your way to the radio tower. So you pull up to the radio station, which is a two-story building with a large radio antenna array on the top of it. Above the front door is a obnoxious yellow sign that says WK9078. And attached to it, just on the side of it, is a small parking garage.
I guess I'll try to pull into the garage so we can hide the car even further, if possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So you pull into the garage. There's a bunch of random cars in here that are just abandoned.
Yeah, so just find a spot to park between a couple of abandoned cars, and then we can park it there and throw the cover on top.
All right, I'm going to try to find a terminal to hook into.
Yeah, so you go up to this, like, squat concrete structure. It's two stories tall. The sign WK9078 is, like, peeling. Underneath it, but over the doorway, in extremely faded spray paint, it says, "The Voice of the Wastes." The lettering's sort of like barely visible at this point, but at one point it was probably very bright and obnoxious because it's like a neon green. The door is unlocked, but closed.
I ask Haley. Haley, do you mind taking a point here?
I'm going to push it open.
You find yourself in a small lobby for a radio station. There's a bunch of like posters on the walls for different music acts and concerts. And there's a small receptionist desk. It looks like things were partly destroyed at one point, but then fixed. So you see that the receptionist desk has fixed like as best as a non-carpenter can do with like spare pieces of wood that were probably just found around the area. And there's a single staircase leading upwards. And this seems to be the only room on this floor.
What I need is not down here. We got to go upstairs.
All right, let's go.
So you head upstairs. Up here, there's a small kitchen, a bathroom, like sort of sitting waiting area. And in the sitting waiting area, there's a glass wall divider that looks into like a DJ booth. There's no power up here, and there's no windows, so you have your flashlights on. A ladder on the western wall that leads up to a hatch in the ceiling and presumably leads to the roof.
That's where we need to go.
You make your way up the ladder, out the hatch, and you're on the roof. There is a control board for this rusted-out radio tower. It's almost as large as the station itself, so the station's two stories. This is like a story and a half tall of leaning, rusted metal, just this monolith to a forgotten time where radio waves actually were able to be projected throughout Wafisa and bring music to people. The antenna is completely intact, but currently unpowered.
Why is there no power in this hell-forsaken place?
I'll give you one guess.
The Guardians.
I mean, y'all talking about no power? What about no water? I need a shower so bad.
Robert, we're used to it by now. It's fine.
We'll get there, but yeah.
I don't think that something like this can be powered with an A-type cell.
Nope, I don't think so either. God damn it. Yeah, we'd really need a generator for a job like this. Oh, boy. I haven't seen one, though. Well, sorry for the wild goose chase, folks. Unless we want to spend more time searching around for a generator, I think we might just want to keep on heading in.
I mean, if we're up here and I can potentially look around, I can at least see if I see any lights, anything large enough that it might be sucking up that much power in the vicinity.
It kind of just seems like the whole city's out of power.
There ain't nothing, anybody. I use my binoculars, I use my bionic eyes and did not find anything.
Oh, you know, I will say one thing, actually. On the horizon, several miles away, you do see blurry points of light flickering in what is now quickly becoming dusk.
And that's Black Harbor.
It's right on the coastline, several miles to the east.
So maybe we just need to get into Black Harbor and then try to trace the scapegoat from there.
I think that might be the best bet. Let's just give this place a good once-over, make sure they don't have a generator out back. Communication is a vital thing, so it could be they have one set up, just in case, and it's just off right now.
Knowing where the ship actually is going to be super important, so yeah, let's...
That's when I go around the outside, like the perimeter of the building, scout it, and just make sure there's no generator that's like just not running or on right now.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. So you head back down the ladder, and you're in like the DJ booth area. Actually, before you leave, I would like if Robert Ross could give me a notice wisdom, please.
And that will be an 8.
An 8. Okay, so as you're leaving the like DJ area, you come down the ladder and you're going back down the stairs. Your eyes are drawn to the DJ booth. You thought you just heard something come from in there.
Did y'all hear anything from that DJ booth over there? I feel like I need somebody a little more tech-savvy to check it out. My binoculars aren't giving me any detail.
Robert, we're inside and it's 5 feet away. Of course they're not giving you any detail.
All I see is blurry grays and blacks.
Yeah, what do you mean you heard something?
Yeah, maybe someone more gun-savvy should go check it out, Thorne says, hiding behind a table.
Oh, all right.
I love that they say gun-savvy, and Haley just assumes we're talking about her, like, arms.
My guns, yeah, my arms. I'm proud of these things. Yeah, it's a small location. Let me get up in their faces. So, yes, I am going to go investigate the DJ booth.
Okay. You go, and there's glass walls on two sides, and one of the glass walls has a glass door built into it. And as you get closer, you see that there is a person in there hiding as best they can under the desk where, like, the microphone and everything is all set up. You see, like, a foot sticking out.
I walk back away from the room. So, guys, there is somebody in there, but it looks like they're trying to hide from us.
Well, I mean, we're not here to hurt anybody.
Or are we? Haley, do you want to give them a special type of persuasion with your guns?
Not until we have to. There's a lot we don't know yet, so...
Let me see if I can just have a peaceful conversation with this person. But I'd like the two of you to stay close to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be right behind you, bud.
All right, I head over to the DJ booth, and I from, like, around the corner, I'm like, call out to the leg that's hiding. Hey there! Anybody in here hiding under that table over there with their leg sticking out?
The leg very slowly pulls in to underneath the table.
Oh, I guess not.
Two hands come out from behind the desk, and the man speaks, but his voice is muffled from behind the glass.
I don't have a gun.
That's fine. That's fine. We're not here to hurt you. We're not. I look back at the group, and then I look back at the person. We're not with the Guardians.
Oh, I'm gonna come out now, but. The door is locked and the glass is bulletproof, so don't try anything.
Okay, just come on out and let's just talk.
He limps and favors one leg as he's, like, struggling to his feet. He's in his mid-40s, has an extremely unkempt appearance. He has wild, disheveled hair that reaches down to his shoulders, patchy beard. His skin is a sickly greenish, like, extremely tan greenish mixture. And he has a slight hunch. Like he's been hovering over, like, a keyboard or a datapad his entire life.
Mm-hmm. So a typical DJ.
He kind of resembles a frog. If you were to, like, that's immediately, you're like, this guy kind of looks like a frog. He's dressed in a tattered orange jumpsuit, and there are various tools strapped to his belt. You're not really sure what the tools are. They kind of look like improvised tools. He's twitching a bit, and he says,
okay. Let's all stay calm.
As he clocks all of the guns and he sees that there are four people looking through the glass at him.
What can I do for you? Don't get a lot of visitors here at the Voice of the Waste.
So my gun is not drawn and I put both my hands up as I, like, approach the class. We're not here to cause you any trouble. We're just in a bit of a predicament and we thought we could use this radio tower to our advantage. Looks like it's not working. And we were trying to get it running, because, you see, we're trying to find something. Any chance you know how this place works, you could help us find what we're looking for? We're not looking for any trouble. We just want to find what's ours and get out of your hair.
He sort of nods, and then reaches down and presses a button on the desk in front of him, activating a speaker so that he can talk with you through that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know how it works. It just doesn't work anymore, you know? I've been trying to fix it. I used to. Okay, a long time ago, I think I was pretty much just a child. I made my way, and I found here, and I became the Voice of the Wastes, and the radio tower was working, and people had music still, even after the fall of Wafisa. By God, those were good times. And for the past 15 years, I've just been trying to fix it, man. I've just been trying to fix it, and I've been inching closer and closer. And I just can't figure it out. I just can't figure it out, man. So yes, I'd love to tell you that this radio tower works. I'd love to tell you that I still have all of my sanity left, but I'm pretty sure both of those things are broken and are never coming back.
All right, calm down. Listen, my friend here, Felix, he's pretty good with this tech stuff too. Maybe you put your brains together, you can come up with something. Tell us, what's your name?
Well, you know, my name's Reginald Vance, but people call me Frog. I'm DJ Froggy, WK9078, Voice of the Wastes. That's me, DJ Froggy. I'm not actually very good at this technical stuff. I've just been doing it to try to fix this place. I may have picked up a couple things.
All right, Froggy. Well, I'm Thorn. This is Haley.
What's up?
And Robert, and I already mentioned Felix.
Hey.
We think we know that we just need to get some power. Is there a generator or anything around here?
There's a generator in this building, but I can't get it to work. I'm too scared to work on it because I've seen those things explode before.
We're used to a few explosions.
Listen, what do you need it for? If you can get it working, you can use it.
We're just trying to get a reading on something that we lost.
Life is meaningless.
Fair. But all the same, I think we're going to still try to find our stuff.
I'll do whatever I can. It doesn't look like you're going to kill me, and honestly, even if you do at this point, if I'm not DJing, I ain't living.
Hey, if we get this thing running, you can DJ to your heart's content. Now listen, where's the generator?
In the basement. You can get to the basement by going around the back of the building.
Alright, great. And I turn back to the rest of the group. All right, well, we found a generator. Seems like it's out of fuel.
Yeah, I can go check it out. See what we're dealing with here.
I just want to spin records, man. I just want to make the music happen. So if you could turn this on and I can send a signal out, then maybe the people at Black Harbor can get a little bit of joy in their life.
Yeah, we can do that, Froggy. First steps first, though. Power, and then we can switch the from receive to send.
And then step three, obviously, drop the beats. And then by any chance, Mr. Froggy, is step four, we get paid?
I don't have any money, but I can drop a beat. I'll prepare for that right now.
You, sir, are good people. Truly, the voice of the wastes, and that is why everyone will know DJ Froggy.
Put some Gravity Well on that playlist for me, would you?
Gravity Well? What's that?
Oh, like, you don't know Gravity Well? My man. We'll talk later.
You're naming bands to a place that hasn't had outside contact in 20 years.
Yeah, he's missing out on the contemporary classics.
All right, let's get to work. I'll stay up here and keep an eye on Froggy if it's all the same to y'all.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I don't think we're in too much danger of splitting up here.
Felix, why don't you take Robert and head down to the generator?
So, Haley, where do you want to go?
I'm going to stick with Froggy.
Okay, so we got Froggy and Thorn up top, and Robert and Felix going down to the basement. So, Robert and Felix, you go down the staircase, out the front door, around the side of the building, and you find that there's a big old rusted door here that had a lock on it, but the entire doorknob locking mechanism has been completely bashed in. Instead, there's a well-weathered bungee cord holding the knob to a nearby fence post.
Cut the bungee cord and push the door open.
The door rustily opens up, showing a set of concrete stairs leading down into a stale-smelling basement.
Felix, now how do you want to go about this? Do you want me to lead and you cover me?
Yeah, you lead for sure. I'll definitely cover you.
Are you sure you don't want to lead?
No, I got your back. I'll hold the light.
You double sure? I could easily follow you down with my gun.
I'm holding the light over his shoulder and pushing Robert down the stairs.
And you make your way down into the basement, flashlights out, to see what there is to see. It's a very small basement. The footprint of the building is actually pretty small. There's one room down here. There's a generator that runs off of fuel cells. You can see that there are three large fuel cells directly next to it. And when you check the charge on them, they're all, like, degraded over time, but they're all at over 75%. And there's no fuel cell in the generator currently. But the generator is, like, the shell of the generator is off. And all the innards are exposed. And a lot of things have been done to this generator. Probably Froggy trying to get it to work.
Oh, no.
Near the generator are three panels, electrical panels. It looks like there's one for the radio tower, one for the first and second floor, and then one for the generator itself. There's also a bunch of shelving with a lot of various parts and expired foodstuffs on it, strangely enough. And then there's a sewer grate leading downwards into a sewer, assumably.
All right, well, I'm going to, like, sigh heavily, kneel down in front of the generator and assess the damage. I pull out my toolkit and begin kind of like assessing what it needs.
Okay, so this is going to take you an hour to figure out what it's going to take to fix this thing. But just by glancing at it, you know this is a multi-day effort.
Robert, this is going to take me some time. Can you just hold this light here for me, please?
Yep. No,
Robert,
yep.
Here. Robert.
Yep.
Robert, hold the light here.
Robert, you're having flashbacks to your childhood right now.
Yeah, me too. I'm having PTSD, holding the flashlight for my dad.
Felix, go ahead and roll me a fixed intelligence. Actually, no, sorry, fixed wisdom. Wisdom is about making judgments.
That is a 9.
You don't really want to have to work on this at night. You think if you spent all day tomorrow and all day the next day that you can get it fixed and fully operational again with the parts you have currently on hand without having to get anything additional.
Even powered?
There's three energy cells.
I feel like if he just hooked those in, it would have been fine, but I think he made this worse by him trying to fix it without hooking those energy cells in.
It seems like something may have been broken and he tried to fix it, but made it way worse. In your exploring, you can see there's like a huge mess in here. There's like 20, 30 different problems. Any one of them could have been the one small thing that a knowledgeable person could have fixed in like an hour.
All right, Robert, let's go talk to the team.
Okay, the two of you make your way up to the second floor where you find that Froggy has come out of the DJ booth and he has some rations that he's sharing with everyone present.
So Shards of Glass was their third album and that's the one that everybody likes, but honestly, if you go to the earlier stuff, it has like more of a lo-fi thing going on that I think actually makes it better.
Oh, that's a really interesting thing. I mean, honestly, it kind of sounds like Lost in Transmission a lot. It almost sounds like Lost in Transmission could have been influence for them because they came first.
Oh, maybe. You have to give me some of their records then. I got to give it a listen.
So listen, it's going to take a couple of days, but I can get it back up and running. Like, it'll run like new.
Days?
Yeah, it's going to take like all tomorrow and the next day.
By the time we find the thing, they're going to have already stripped it.
I don't know what to tell you, Thorny. It's a mess down there. It seems like some kind of rat got in there and just ripped everything up.
Ripped what?
The generator. It's all torn up.
But this guy said they were going to have already stripped it. Who's they and strip what?
Don't worry about it, kid.
He's like in his mid-40s. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yeah, you did.
Buddy, it ain't looking good. It's going to take a couple of days. Thorn, I'll tell you, what are they going to do? Re-steal our ship? I think we got some time.
I'm not worried about them stealing it again. I'm worried about them destroying it.
Wait, you have a ship? Are you from off-world?
Well, we can talk more about this later.
No, if you have a ship, I have something I can ask you.
All right, well, let's say we did have a ship.
Well, I know someone off-world. Maybe you can bring something to them.
Like what?
I don't know. I haven't talked to them in a long time. I maybe a message?
Sure, we can bring a message.
Oh, this is very cool. Her name's Vera. She got off-world with her family. And he gets a wistful look. I'll write something. I'll write something right now. And he runs off to the DJ booth.
What a weird guy.
I hadn't told him that we had a ship.
Yeah, that might have been my bad.
So that is the end of our session. You'll be spending, it sounds like, a couple nights here. Froggy sleeps in the DJ booth, but there's plenty of room for you here on the second floor or in reception on the first floor. Or you could sleep on the roof under the stars, though it is raining most nights. But for now, you break bread and you make camp and you get ready for fixing the generator tomorrow. And with that, we'll go to our diaries.
Well, I gotta say, I was more than a little disappointed in that recipe book. I was hoping for something a bit more transactable. But the car was a nice surprise, though Thorn seemed to enjoy it a bit more than I did. I love to see a beautiful piece of machinery like that. And this weird guy, Froggy? Yeah, he messed up that machine downstairs, but hey, he gave us a warm meal. That's not half bad. And I am looking forward to getting my hands in some grease and machinery again. It's been too long, and a little project is just what I need right now.
We're starting to see some more signs of home here on Wafisa. It's been pretty neat coming here. Just crazy industrial. I mean, like, the whole planet is about methane for some reason. Managed to pick up a family recipe book. There's a bunch of pages that I'm hoping maybe, you know, get filled up too. Found a local radio station. Just seeing lots of signs of what used to be here on Wafisa, and it's a pretty shit situation here. And I'm really happy about the recipe book.
Well, a little bit of a bag of chance here. Truly, bit of fortune. We find this beautiful car. Truly chance. I might have gotten my ass handed to me in Loki Pawn. Sometimes fortune does not favor the bold. But we met DJ Froggy. That's my boy. I can tell. I can see something in him. He is going to be the voice of the rebellion. That is going to be the spark that lights the fire on Wafisa.
An Aurora LX90. Sleek, elegant, a classic. Dual intake plutonium drive, plasma fed, hover capabilities, gullwing doors, pearlescent finish. What a find. This is the kind of treasure that I'm talking about. DJ Froggy, voice of the wastes, he seems nice enough even if he isn't all there. I'm glad we have a way to track the scapegoat, but 2 whole days? I hope the thing's still there when we go to recover it. At least that'll give me a little bit of time to teach Robert some basic Loki Pawn skills.
Well, everyone, that's the end of our adventure for tonight. But this has been another awesome episode of the Dark Star Adventure Cast. Tune in next time for Episode 7, when the crew of the Scapegoat makes their way to Black Harbor to hopefully find their long-lost ship. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep following that signal. And just one more thing before you go, I'd like to give out a huge cosmic thank you to Brad and Holly, our first and founding patrons on Patreon.com. If you'd like to be included in this monthly shout-out, please check out our membership options on patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast.